بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. After the praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. In a series of speaking about the Islamic etiquettes that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and going through the major etiquettes that the Prophet ﷺ showed from last week when we spoke about the etiquettes of the mosque, and inshaAllah tonight we'll speak the etiquettes about seeking knowledge. And we start relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa billahi tawfiq. The first revelation that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Iqra. And Iqra means recite. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded and mentioned one of his great bounties upon his servants is teaching them the knowledge. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. He taught the human being what he does not know. And Allah azza wa jal says in the Quran al-Kareem, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, are they equal? Those who know and those who don't know. So knowledge is a noble thing in Islam. And with knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates people. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah says that Allah will elevate those believers from among you and those ones who seek knowledge from those believers. With knowledge, my brothers and sisters, you elevate your position and your levels with Allah Azza wa Jal. With knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your iman. With knowledge, you get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the one that seeks knowledge, and the one that does things for the sake of Allah, he made the angels lower their wings for him as a humbleness or sign of humbleness from the great soldiers of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the angels, for that one that seeks knowledge. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَزْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضًا بِمَا يَصْنَعُ. That the angels will lower their wings for the one that seeks knowledge, for the good that he does or she does. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he also says, وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا وَلَكِنْ وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ. That the prophets and the messengers did not leave behind any dollars. No dinar, no dirham. And dirham is like the cents and dinar is like the dollars. But they've left behind their knowledge. And whoever takes that knowledge had taken a great portion and had taken a great part in Islam. The scholars are the inheritors of the prophets and the messengers. The scholars and the students of scholars are those ones who continue a great part of the prophecy, which is the part of knowledge. The part of knowledge that the prophets called and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam encouraged the believers to follow. That he made an obligation on the believers in which he says, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيدَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. That seeking knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim that applies on male and female. And he also says, those ones who are from me are those ones who are scholars or those ones who seek knowledge. Another hadith, he says that this world is cursed and cursed what's in it except someone who remembers Allah or someone who's a scholar or a student of scholar. Seeking knowledge is something great in Islam, something noble, something high. that Allah Azza wa Jal made a path to the paradise. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever takes a path of knowledge or seeks a path of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an easy path to the paradise. So Allah Azza wa Jal made seeking knowledge a path to the paradise. An easy path to the paradise. A guidance for those ones who seek knowledge to go to the paradise. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Abu Huraira one day, for you to go and seek a chapter of knowledge better than praying 100 rak'ah. So seeking knowledge in some cases is more prior, more important, more of a worship than even praying 100 rak'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The importance of knowledge. And that's why shaitan could attack 100 worshippers or 1,000 worshippers, but can't attack a scholar. Why? Because the scholars and those ones who seek knowledge know the right and know the wrong. And when you seek knowledge, you know the tricks of the shaitan. So shaitan can't trick you or deceive you. So my brothers and sisters, this is the importance of knowledge. And one of the great rewards that stay behind someone when they die, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that the deeds and the actions of the son of Adam are cut after his death, except of three things, and one of them says, عِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ, that a knowledge that he benefits people, whether a book or invention, whatever the type of a knowledge, that this person benefits the people. And because of this knowledge, and seeking knowledge is a noble thing and a great thing, there are etiquettes for seeking knowledge. There are etiquettes. There are ways and means that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had drawn the line for those ones when they seek knowledge, not to fall into the wrong path of it, just to follow the right path. Because at the same thing, at the same time, as knowledge is great and noble, it's dangerous. As knowledge is great and noble, it's dangerous. Seeking knowledge and gaining knowledge is either going to take it to the paradise and the highest positions in the paradise, or in the lowest positions and deepest end of the hellfire. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the first people that will be brought forward to Allah Azza wa Jal to be judged is a scholar or someone that memorized the Quran. And Allah Azza wa Jal will ask him, oh my servant, you learned the little knowledge and you've memorized the Quran. For whose sake? He said, oh Allah, I did it for your sake. And I memorized the Quran for your sake and seek knowledge and learn knowledge for your sake. Allah Azza wa Jal will say, you're a liar. You did that for people to say you're a knowledgeable person. And he did so for people to say you memorize the Quran. And people did say so, so go to the hellfire. So as it is, seeking knowledge is beneficial and great rewarding. If it's not done the proper way, then it's sinful and it also becomes a punishment in hellfire. And the number one etiquette, our number one thing that people, when they seek knowledge, or the tulab al-ilm, the seekers of knowledge, should keep in mind is sincerity. When we learn knowledge or want to seek knowledge, we do that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى دُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا وَامْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. That all the deeds are according to the intentions. Allah will reward you on that deed according to the intention they intended from behind it. If you intend to seek knowledge for the sake of Allah, then Allah will reward you. But if you intend to seek knowledge for something else, for anything of this world, then you will get no rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith, that whoever seeks knowledge for nothing else except to win something from this world, let them prepare their position in the hellfire. Whoever seeks knowledge for nothing else but to win something from this world, then let them prepare their positions in the hellfire. Another hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that whoever learns the knowledge to debate with people and to share the power of speech against people, then they will never see the smell of the paradise. And the smell of the paradise could be smelled from a very, very, very far distance. So see how dangerous it is. It's very dangerous to seek knowledge and learn knowledge for something that It's not for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when I seek knowledge, even if it's the smallest knowledge, I all the time should renew my intention that I'm here to seek knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I want to increase my knowledge to increase my iman to get closer to my Lord. I want to increase my knowledge to increase my iman to get closer to my Lord, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not let the deception of the shaitan get through our minds. Especially these days when knowledge becomes very noble and respected, then the intentions of knowledge starts to mix up. Where we start seeking knowledge at the beginning for the sake of Allah, and then later on when people start to realize they have a bit of knowledge, then you start to get puffed up. And that's an advice that was given to us so many times when we're seeking knowledge overseas, that the early stages of seeking knowledge are one of the most dangerous stages. Why? Because you realize the difference between your knowledge before you earn that knowledge and after, and you realize that you know a bit of knowledge, so you realize people start to respect you because of that knowledge, so your intention starts to become different. That I want people to ask me so I could show them that I know. I want to speak so people could look at me that I know. So the early stages of seeking knowledge is one of the most dangerous stages. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned us. He warned us from this intention and not to mix. And that's why it is very important for us to regularly renew our intentions that I'm seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah. And I'm spreading knowledge for the sake of Allah. No one else but Allah Azza wa Jal. Or else, the first person that will be brought forward to Allah in the hereafter to be judged and thrown in hellfire is a scholar. Or someone who memorized the Quran. So the intention is very important. Very, very, very important. Renew our intentions even for seeking the smallest amount of knowledge. Even if it's for seeking for the smallest amount of knowledge. Even if it's just a extra word that we learn, or an extra sentence, or an extra chapter, I renew my intention that I'm here for Allah's sake, to learn for Allah's sake. Because whatever starts, whatever the beginning of it is good, then the end of it is good. But if you start corrupt, then the end of it is corrupt. If you start bad, then the end of it is bad. So if a student of knowledge starts his seeking of his knowledge from the beginning sincerely for Allah's sake, and grabs onto that till the day he dies, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a good ending for them. And I'll tell you something. Majority of people, when they start seeking knowledge, most of them start sincerely for Allah's sake. But later on, that's when they start to get deceived. And you see a lot of people. Believe me, it's very rare to find someone who starts to seek knowledge from the beginning for something beside Allah's sake. Everyone starts for Allah's sake, but later on, throughout their years of learning, or after graduating, which is the biggest fitna, when they start to get the attention and so on, that's when they start to get deceived, and that's when they start changing their intentions, where it started off for Allah's sake, and now it's for the sake of dunya, or sake of reputation, or sake of respect, or sake of anything else. And we've experienced that and seen that so many times. So the intention is very important, and regularly renew your intention. And renew your intention. That's why one of the etiquettes when you seek a knowledge, when you're in gathering of knowledge, to remind yourself that the first thing here, when you start the seeking of knowledge in that gathering, that I'm here for Allah's sake. The first thing, remind yourself, I'm here for Allah's sake. I'm here for Allah's sake. Every time you're in a gathering of knowledge, remind yourself, I'm here for Allah's sake. وَذَكَّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind. The reminder benefits the believers. So those ones with belief and iman, they need that reminder. Then how about those ones who are far away from iman? So every time you get in a gathering of knowledge, renew intention. I'm here for Allah's sake. And I'm not here for anything else except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, to give the knowledge its respect. To have the tranquility when seeking knowledge. To have the tranquility and the peace when you seek knowledge. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَعَلَّمُوا الْعِلْمَ وَتَعَلَّمُوا لِلْعِلْمِ السَّكِينَ وَالْوَقَارِ تَوَاضَعُوا لِمَنْ تَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْ. Seek knowledge, and seek knowledge with tranquility and calmness. Seek knowledge with tranquility and calmness. Tranquility and calmness is a good sign of those ones who seek knowledge, and respect those ones who you seek knowledge from. Also, when you seek knowledge all the time, look for the beneficial knowledge. This knowledge, is it going to benefit me? There is knowledge. There's a law of knowledge. A law of the knowledge sometimes is just irrelevant. There's no benefit out of it. The only benefit that you could put it in books. And unfortunately, we came to a time and era where you find a lot of the scientists just occupy their time into a butterfly, for example, or a worm, and trying to find out everything about the worm. And this knowledge at the end of the day, yes, some of it is beneficial, but too much in depth is just not going to benefit humanity, or not going to benefit your iman. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask Allah azza wa jal to protect him. Allahumma inna a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. Oh Allah, ask you to protect me from my knowledge that does not benefit me. Sometimes you sit in a knowledge that doesn't benefit. Just not even, sometimes some scholars, you find them speaking over things, just don't benefit. You as a seeker of knowledge, you want to look for a knowledge that benefits you. And the benefit that comes back to you is to increase your iman. Is to increase, you know, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying the circle knowledge is not beneficial. Yes, it is beneficial. But sometimes there are things done over exaggerated in things that does not benefit. Does not bring the benefit back to humanity, or does not bring benefit back to the community. Maybe in my point of view, or someone's point of view, sees something not beneficial. At the end of the day, those ones who are the qualified people into the topic, they know more what's beneficial for people and what's not. And also, that seeking knowledge, as I said, with sincerity and looking for the beneficial knowledge, that you find that knowledge gets you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a knowledge that makes you away from Allah azza wa jal. In many verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, speaking about the previous nations and when the dispute fell upon them, is وَمَا تَفَرَّقُوا إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah mentioned that so many times in the Quran al-Kareem, speaking about the previous nations from Bani Israel and the other nations, that the dispute came upon them is when knowledge starts to spread between them. So as I said, knowledge sometimes could be a dangerous thing if it's not used sincerely for Allah's sake. The nations before, they were united. When knowledge started to spread among them, everyone knew they know everything. Everyone knew they know everything. And once you start having that quality of you knowing everything, then it's either your way or the highway. It's either your way or the highway. And subhanAllah, this is one of the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem that brought dispute among the nations before us, is when the knowledge start to be increased, and then they start to misuse that knowledge, then they start to divide with one another. And this happens. This happens. You see, subhanAllah, some people, when they come into the deen, they're very obedient, very humble. Want to earn knowledge, seek knowledge, that are willing to stand in front of any sheikh and any mufti and any kaza, just to fight them and put them down. We just a few months ago, looking into their background, didn't know much of a knowledge. So see what knowledge made people? SubhanAllah, some people, within few days, they were far away from the deen. Within few days, they have the stick of taking people out of the deen of Allah. So knowledge, sometimes, if it's done in an improper way, if it's done in an incorrect way, it takes you to the wrong way. وَمَا تَفَرَّقُوا إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. That they did not dispute and bring conflict between one another until the knowledge started to come within them. So ikhwani, sincerity in that knowledge, and take the beneficial knowledge. Take the beneficial knowledge. Also, having patience on seeking knowledge. Having patience on seeking knowledge. You can't earn and seek all the knowledge in one day and night. And especially when people start to seek knowledge, they get so motivated that they think they could start eating books. And they think they could probably start earning the whole knowledge in 1 year. Well, I'll give you a background how the scholars used to work before. These days, you could study for 4, even 2 years, 3 years, get an ijazah, he's a sheikh. Back then, if he does not sit in front of a sheikh for 20 years, he would not be given the authority to give a fatwa. If he does not sit in front of a sheikh for 20 years, and some scholars say for 30 years, he would never ever be approved to give a fatwa. These days, to sit 10 days in front of a lecture, or read one book, you've got the authority of making a fatwa for the mufti. That's how it is. Now, the origin, yani, it's not about just 1 or 2 days or 1 or 2 years. It's a long time with patience. a long time with patience. And of course, those ones who are sincere and seek knowledge for Allah's sake, they look at the amount of time they put, they look at the amount of knowledge they gain, and they just keep on putting more and putting more effort. And that's why Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, every time I increase my knowledge had increased of me lacking a lot of knowledge. My knowledge had increased of me lacking a lot of knowledge. And subhanAllah, this is something I've experienced. When I first wanted to go and study, I thought the whole Sharia course is two subjects. Two subjects I could sit and learn. And subhanAllah, the first year was 20 subjects. I said, subhanAllah, where this, all these subjects came from? Like, never experienced, never thought that these subjects ever exist. Of course, from someone that doesn't have no background. And subhanAllah, the year after was more, and the year after was more. So these things that you realize at the end that you don't know nothing. And then you need to increase your knowledge. And when Musa alayhi salam was with the Khidr on a boat, a bird came on the edge of that boat and took a zip from the ocean. So Khidr told Musa, "Oh Musa, your knowledge compared to my knowledge, just a dot, a zip of the ocean. And the knowledge, my knowledge compared to the knowledge of Allah, is also a dot of the ocean. The knowledge is big. And no one could ever gain all the knowledge except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So knowledge and seeking knowledge needs a lot of patience. Needs a lot of sabr. Needs a lot of sabr. The Imam al-Shafi'i said you need the sabr of Ayyub alayhi salam. You need the sabr of Ayyub. And we know Ayyub alayhi salam is a great prophet, that the patience is an example of him. And he's an example of patience, that you need a lot of patience to seek knowledge. You need a lot of patience, a lot of time, sitting down, going from a place to a place, listening. That requires a lot of patience. Not just, wallahi, sitting on a chair and just start putting the knowledge in your mind like how you put it on a chip of a computer. No, it needs a lot of patience. Before, Imam al-Bukhari traveled 2 months for one hadith. 2 months for one hadith. The scholars before, they travel on their feet. Not, wallah, with a plane. Easy go, easy come. And we still complain and say, wallah, it's hardship. No, they used to travel for months and months just to earn one hadith or to gain one chapter of a book and go and seek knowledge and patience and all that patience that required. Also, one of the etiquettes of knowledge and increasing your knowledge is to ask when you don't know. And never ever answer when you don't know. When Ali ibn Abi Talib was asked about the knowledge, he said half of it is to say, I don't know. Yani, half of it is to say, Allahu A'lam, I don't know. So, at etiquette of knowledge, if you don't know something, don't say it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anyone that gives a fatwa from no knowledge will be dragged from his mouth into the hellfire. So it's not, wallahi, I'll say it. And I'll say to all my brothers and sisters, it's not disrespect or shame for you to say, I don't know. Someone asks you a question, especially when people see someone with a beard, they think it's a sheikh. Someone ask you a question. You don't know? Allahu A'lam, I don't know. I'll ask someone for you to come back to you. There's no shame in it. Wallahi, you should put in your mind it's a respect for you. Don't think in wallah people going to look down on you. You've earned the respect. It's enough that you've earned respect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What more do you want? So it's not shameful when someone asks you a question and you don't know the answer of that question to say, sorry brother, sorry sister, Allahu A'lam, inshallah I'll get back to you, I'll ask someone for you. Because we reached that stage, you know, I'm too shy to say, so willing just to say anything. Willing to say anything. Wallahi, akhwani, I've experienced people, once I was a hazan, experienced this man, people looked up to him because he had a beard, so on, so on, so on. And I was listening to the fatwa that he's giving, wallahi, just direct one direction to the hellfire. One direction to the hellfire. At the end I told the brother, fear Allah, it's not rid. And shameful for you to say, I don't know. Just kept on saying things, throwing things. And I'm saying, subhanAllah, how could this person, willing, wallahi, and he's willing not to say, I don't know, but accepting for himself to drag people with him and him in the hellfire for fatawi, that was unbelievable. So my brothers and sisters, it's not disrespectful or shameful for you to say, I don't know. A question, even if the simplest question, even if, wallahi, this, yani, all the beginners of seeking, students of knowledge know it, there's nothing wrong with you saying, oh, I don't know. You are not better than Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, or rahimahullah. When he was asked 36 questions, he answered 6, and the rest he said, Allahu A'lam. And that's Malik, rahmatullahi alayh, the one that people say, Ayufta wa Malikun fil Medina. Can I give a fatwa and Malik is in Medina? No way. Imam Malik, one of the great scholars of Islam, 36 questions were given to him, answered 6, and the rest he said, I don't know. And Imam Ali says, I don't know is half of the knowledge. At the same time, when you don't know, don't be shy to ask. Don't be shy to ask. And so ask the question. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent the companions sent the troop of companions, and one of the companions was injured on his head. So he wake up the next morning, and he had to have a shower. So he said, can I make tayammum? So the rest of the companions said, no. Ignorance. No, we cannot see anything beside you having a shower. So he said, I'm worried about myself. If I do have a shower, I'll collapse. He said, no. This is the deen, and you must have a shower, no tayammum. So he put water over his head, he collapsed and died. So when they came back to the Prophet ﷺ and told them the story, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got so angry, he said, قَتَلُوهُمْ قَاتَلَهُمْ Allah. They killed them, ma Allah killed them. Look. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never say such a thing unless he's very, very, very angry. He said, قَتَلُوهُ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ They killed him, Allah killed them. It was enough for him to make tayammum. إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ That the cure of disease is just a question. All you have to do is ask. And you get your answer. What did you give this man? A fatwa that collapsed. And now it's around your neck for his death. And that's why, ikhwani, you don't know? Ask. Simple. I don't know something, ask. And that's why the scholars said, two people never learn. Two people will never learn. Mustahin or mustakbir. Someone who's too shy, doesn't want to ask. If you don't want to ask in a crowd, grab someone on the side. These days you can speak from behind the phone, no one will know who you are. Ask. But don't put yourself in a position where you fall into something wrong, and then later on, you find yourself in the wrong. And the other one, someone with pride. The nose is too high. He doesn't want to lower himself by asking someone. Because he thinks, or they think, if they're going to ask the sheikh, they're lowering themselves. They are lowering themselves. Especially if the sheikh is young. Because I'll teach him and teach his sheikh. بَعَلَّمْ شَيْخُ 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 كَمَنْ You hear that so many times. I'll teach him and teach his sheikh. People with pride, they want to learn. They don't want to lower themselves. And that's not the quality of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and not the quality that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, نعمل نساء نساء الأنصار لم يكن يمنعهن الحياء على أن يتفقهن في الدين. He said, the good women are the women of Ansar. The good woman, she's praising the woman of Ansar. The good women are the woman of Ansar. It did not stop their shyness and modesty, because women are modest and shy more than men. Their modesty and shyness did not stop them from seeking knowledge. Their modesty and shyness did not stop them from seeking knowledge. They'll approach the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him, or they'll approach Aisha. Or the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if it was their private things. The private things that people sometimes are shy, but sometimes you have to ask. And that's why one of the companions came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, she's a female, said, La haya fi din. She wanted to ask him something private. And she said, Oh Prophet Allah, there is no shyness in Islam. There is no shyness in the religion. I want to ask you such. So, when you have a question, don't be shy to ask it. Of course, in a modest, nice way, because sometimes the way questions are asked in a disrespectful way. This is a disrespect to the knowledge and disrespect to the person. So the questions have to be asked in a proper way. Now, humbleness, a very important quality and attribute for those ones who seek knowledge. Humble yourself. And humble yourself to the knowledge and to the one that you seek knowledge from. Humble yourself to the knowledge and to the one that you seek knowledge from. As we said, those ones with pride would never ever earn knowledge. And humble yourself to those ones who you seek knowledge from, not to have pride over them or think you know more than them or think you're too good to ask them or think you're too good to sit with them or think so and so and so on. This is a sign of pride. And the Nabi said, no one will enter the paradise if they had a dot or atom white of pride. So humble yourself to those ones who you seek knowledge from. Respect them, look up to them, as Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullahi alayhi, mentioned in his poetry, to respect those ones who you seek knowledge from. And there's a very famous poetry for Ahmad Shawqi. He says, قُمْ لِلْمُعَلِّمِ وَقِهِ التَّبْجِيلَ كَادَ الْمُعَلِّمُ أَنْ يَكُونَ رَسُولًا أَرَأَيْتَ أَعْظَمَ وَجَلَّ مِنَ الَّذِي يَبْنِي وَإِنْشَى أَنفُسًا وَعُقُولًا. This is a very, very famous poet of Ahmad Shawqi. And Ahmad Shawqi is a famous poet in the 19th century. He says, get up as a respect for those ones who teach you knowledge. Then the scholars were nearly becoming prophets. Have you found someone better than one building and establishing the minds and the souls of people? Building and establishing the minds and the souls of people. And when you hear the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, how they used to seek knowledge, when they used to be in a gathering of knowledge, they used to sit down in tranquility, in respect, and the one they used to describe each other's like, there's a bird atop of their heads. You know the bird? If you move your head just 1 inch, it flies. That's how they used to describe themselves, sitting down, paying attention, not fiddling around with their beads, with their toes, with their fingers, with their phones. Now, mashallah, 100 things, you'll be surprised if people come and play, bring PlayStations with them just to, you know, to get the time going through. SMSs, 100 million things take place while someone is sitting down in knowledge. Then what are you here for? Get outside, better for you. And he's disrespecting the gathering of knowledge, and disrespecting the one that's given knowledge, and disrespecting the words of Allah, and disrespecting the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you're in a gathering of knowledge, you have to respect this gathering. Sit down with tranquility, sit down with peace, pay attention, focus. And one thing, get together, close the gaps. These are gaps for the shaitan. And the closer, the first one that comes to the first lines of the knowledge are the closest one to Allah Azza wa Jal. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his gathering, and the three companions came in. One of them sat in the front lines next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other one sat in the last lines, and one walked away. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he finished, said, let me tell you about those three. One of them got close to Allah, so Allah got close to him. He's that one that came in the first gathering. And the other one was shy from Allah, so Allah was shy from him, the one that sat at the end. And the third one walked away from Allah, so Allah walked away from him. So let's not be shy to be in the front lines, because at the same time, we should avoid the last line, sitting individual. And the scholars back then, they'll speak very, very hard and harsh about those ones who sit individually by themselves. And they say, this is the sign of pride, this is a sign of pride, this is a sign of pride. Some people come and say, wallahi, you know, I don't want to sit in there. Let me be by myself. The scholars say, this is a sign of pride. فَإِخْوَانَ إِحْنَا in a gathering of knowledge, get together. Let us sit together, inshallah. And, you know, get the hearts closer and so on. And inshallah, we don't want to see things like this happening in big gaps. Also, the brothers on the walls, we're not oldies. If it's an old man, ma'ule, we're youngsters. Okay, get ourselves ready. When I was in Pakistan studying Quran, sitting down, opened legs, and he's sitting down like that, it's forbidden. If wallah, one Pakistani, or yani who's not a foreigner, sitting down like that, wallah, with a stick on his head. They have to sit down with one leg bent and the other leg at the top for 9 hours, non-stop. No wall, no nothing. The wall for us foreigners, we used to sit down on it. But at the same time, if we sit on the wall too much, the teacher used to get upset. And what's at the bottom? Cement, not a carpet. And subhanAllah, you find them, they go for 10 hours sitting like that. And here, maybe the first few days, first few months, it becomes hard on the knees and so on. But inshallah, later on, get used to it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. It shouldn't be a problem. And also, when you're in a gathering of knowledge, and you try and avoid any distraction, anything that distracts you. If you think, wallah, bringing a mobile phone is going to distract you, leave in your car. If you think, wallah, you're going to have a pen that's going to distract you, leave in your car. And at the same time, when you see someone that's distracting, then just leave him distract. No, just stop them from distracting, because this is a gathering of knowledge. This is a gathering of angels. It's a gathering of tranquility. It's a gathering of peace. We should humble ourselves in these gatherings, respect ourselves, be together. Harun al-Rashid once came to Medina and he heard about Imam Malik and who's Imam Malik and so on. So he wrote a letter to Imam Malik and told him, Imam Malik, we're just around the corner from your mosque, so come and visit us and teach us and give us and enlighten us a bit of your knowledge. So Imam Malik sent him a letter back. He said, the knowledge, you come to it, it doesn't come to you. You come to the knowledge, you sacrifice for the knowledge doesn't come to you. And one of the first things we were told by the Mashaykh when we were studying overseas, that when you want to learn, you have to go to learn, not the knowledge comes to you. And the other thing is, al-ilmu tu'tihi kullak yu'tika ba'da. Give him all of you, gives you a bit of him. That's knowledge. Give him all your life, all your time, all your money, you only get a bit at the end. So Harun Rashid, you know, read that letter of Malik, rahmatullah alayhi, and respected Malik. You know, this man, like he's not joking. This man looks very, very serious about the knowledge. So he accepted the invitation of Imam Malik and went to the mosque. And he wrote to him, Imam Malik, on a letter, and if you come to us, you sit down like everyone else. Hatta even if you're the Khalifa. By the way, Harun al-Rashid is the Khalifa of the Muslims back then. And it was considered to be one of the most powerful Muslim leaders in history. So Harun al-Rashid is someone big. So it was a gathering of knowledge, and Imam Malik is to get 10,000 people. And when Harun al-Rashid came, the soldier and the gatekeeper saw Harun al-Rashid coming. So he got a chair and made Harun al-Rashid sit on it. Harun al-Rashid didn't dare to go at the front, even if he was a Muslim leader. So he accepted to sit in the last lines where he came, but he sat on a chair. So while Imam Malik speaking about a subject, he saw Harun al-Rashid sitting on a chair, so he changed the whole topic and started to speak about pride and humbleness. So Harun al-Rashid threw the chair and sat on the ground. These gatherings of knowledge have its respect. And we should give the this gatherings of knowledge does have its respect, and we should respect it by respecting the etiquettes of the gathering of knowledge. Not wallah khalas, kul wahad yakhud rahta, everyone just relaxes however they want to relax. These are gatherings of knowledge. We get together, as I said, with tranquility, peace, so on. And anything that distracts us, we should keep it away. Anything that distracts us should keep away. It's been narrated that the scholars, when they used to come, they used to make wudu. Some of them used to have a shower and come in the best clothes and sit down. And sit down listening, it's like a bird at the top of their heads, and paying attention. Every word is valuable. These are the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla. These words will make it enter the paradise. As you find someone working 8 hours to earn $100, these $100 only going to get you food for the day, or just pay your rent. But seeking knowledge will take it to the paradise. So sit down with tranquility, pay attention. Once Imam Malik was bit by a mosquito 8 times, didn't even move. And the narration says a scorpion, and didn't even move. So we sit down with tranquility, pay attention. And it's also one of the etiquettes of the gatherings of knowledge, not to leave until the end of the gathering of knowledge, unless there's something important, and when you leave, you take a permission or a respectable way to those teachers who teach you the knowledge when you leave. Not in a gathering like this, like in a private gathering. If there's a gathering of 10 people, usually this person shouldn't leave unless he takes a permission from the teacher that's given the knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِذَا كَانَ مَعَوَى الْأَمْرِ جَامِعٍ لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا حَتَّى يَسْتَأْذِنُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَكَ أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فإذا استأذنوك لبعض شأنهم فأذن لمن شئت منهم واستغفر لهم الله إن الله غفور رحيم. Allah is speaking about that the believers who believe in Allah and His Prophet are those ones who seek permission from the Prophet before they leave. And it's only those ones who believe in Allah and His Prophet that seek permission from the Prophet before they leave. This verse was revealed when the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum were digging the ditch. You know, the battle of the Khandaq. They were digging the ditch. And it was the believers that gathered in the morning, working so hard, digging, putting all the effort. And it was those hypocrites used to come and show that like they're working a bit, and then they sneak it out and go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's those ones who believe in Allah and His Prophet are those ones who put the effort into that, and those ones when they leave with the permission. Not those hypocrites who come, just show they put a bit of effort, and then when the Prophet is not around, they run away because they're too lazy, or too the too lazy or their heart, of course, is diseased. They don't want the Prophet ﷺ to see them, so they run away. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, it's those ones who believe in Allah and His Prophet are those ones who are together with you and that do not leave unless they take a permission. And the scholars use that as in gatherings of knowledge and so on and so on. And also, ikhwani, piety is an important thing. Seeking knowledge, ikhwan, as I said, is for the sake of Allah and to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One beautiful words from Imam Shafi'i says, لو كان للعلم من دون التقى شرف لكان خير خلق الله إبليس. Listen to these words. Imam Shafi'i says, if knowledge had respect and honor without piety, yani if this knowledge that we seek it just for the sake of seeking it, and there's no action or acting upon that, or implementing that knowledge, he said, then the best creation of Allah would have been Iblis. Because Iblis is the most knowledgeable creation of Allah. Or you could say one of the most knowledgeable creation of Allah. He's been from before Adam alayhi salam till the day of judgment. So he knows a lot. Iblis knows a lot. But what's the difference between Iblis and the Muslim scholar? Is a Muslim scholar believes and acts upon. But Iblis knows Allah but doesn't act upon. So Imam Shafi'i says, لَوْ كَانَ الْعِلْمِ دُونِ التُقَى شَرَفٌ لَكَانَ خَيْرَ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ إِبْلِيسِ. If knowledge had respect and honor without implementing and acting upon it, then the best creation of Allah would have been Iblis. But this knowledge is respected and honored for acting upon it. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. All those who believe, why do you say what you don't act upon? It's a major sin for you to say what you don't act upon. It's a major sin for you to say what you don't act upon. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسن. إن شاء الله إخواني, let's act upon those etiquettes inshallah and give these gatherings of knowledge more respect and give this and honor these gatherings of knowledge. These gatherings of knowledge are one of the sha'air Allah. And as I said, the Sha'ira is one of the symbols of Islam, the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَا يُعَظَّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. And whoever greatens and respects and gives the respect to Sha'air Allah, to the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the word symbols apply, it's from the piety and the piety of hearts. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.